Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
This is our league, and this is your league. Broadcasting from the 55-yard line in Japan to the shores of the Great White North and everywhere around the world on Gridiron America Radio and the Sports History Network.
Welcome, everybody, to From the 55-Yard Line. It is Fran and I and me, Greg, tonight, and we are going to be talking about, we're going to go around the leagues with Fran. Dave is not available tonight. Dave and I did, we did kind of a test show for Gridiron Mexico, which unfortunately we had audio issues, so there is no audio associated with that. So that was episode zero, our beta episode, which unfortunately failed miserably. So next week, hopefully Dave and I, we will get the audio issues straightened out, and we will have our first episode of Gridiron Mexico, which will be available on the front on the Sports History Network on this channel, and also on Gridiron Mexico, another little side channel that we're doing. It's experimental radio. So, all right. Hey, Fran, with all that said, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm nice to be back doing a podcast for the first time in a long time. Yeah, you know, I've been bouncing around doing different things, juggling different work schedules around, but I'm excited to give some fans some good information and good interaction with you as always, Greg.
Cool. No, I appreciate you sitting down with us. And as we're talking, I've got in one corner here in my office, and this is not a live stream today. But as we get deeper into the year, we're going to be doing a simulcast both on Facebook and YouTube. Like I said, I'm in the process of working that. I'm old and I'm in my 50s, so it takes me time to kind of figure everything out. But I think I've got it pretty much nailed down. We've done a couple test streams, and those seem to work out. It's just a matter of finding the right provider, which I have, but it's just, you know, I'm still shopping around and experimenting. So, and in the future, Fran will be on camera, I'll be on camera, Dave will be on camera, and whatever guests we have will hopefully also be on camera. So, well, and
as long as our work schedules combine, you never know who's going to be able to be around, but we'll figure that out.
That's true. And, you know, I mean, I'm sitting here on the other side of the world, so it's not even, for me, work is not, you know, knock on wood, is not an issue. Because only because I'm retired, and I had to retire before age 57, due to the nature of my job and the requirements that went with that. So, but yeah, no, it's, and you know, the thing is, being here in Japan, you know, with work schedule, actually, it's conducive with work schedules, because my mornings are your evenings. So this does work out. But yeah, no, I understand what you're saying about with the work schedule and everything. So, and also too, you know, we got a time change coming up here this weekend. So, you know, that's going to impact our recording scheduling a little bit. So, but with all that said, hey, without further ado, let's go around the leagues, Fran. What's been going on since last we talked?
Well, we'll go back starting 2 weeks ago. We'll start with the National Cross League in partnership with GF Sports Entertainment, Senator Sports Entertainment, announcing the launch of Ottawa's newest franchise, the Ottawa Black Bears. The Black Bears will play 2024-2025 NL season, and all home games will be played at the Canadian Tire Center, home of the NHL Ottawa Senators. Ottawa is an incredible market with established fan base, Major League Arenas NL Commissioner Brett Frud said, "This is an immense opportunity for our league to fortify our roots on the National Capital Region, to partner with sophisticated front office and centers. We feel this relationship will be a terrific success and excited, confident in short-term and long-term positioning of the Iowa Black Bears." Greg, what do you think about NLL going to Canada with another team? Not a big surprise at all.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the business plan. The NLL, the thing is, I don't know what their business plan is. Is it, are they banking on getting most of the money from TV or from ticket sales?
It seems like they have to have ticket sales because ESPN, they're on ESPN Plus, and I mean that's a situation where you can grab, but they don't have that many linear TV games and ticket sales, fans, and but the problem with Iowa's going to fit perfectly with the Hamilton team, which is kind of strange because Toronto Rock are playing in Hamilton, but that's their region. You have teams in Canada that, you know, Rainier, Buffalo, Rochester, it fits perfectly. The only negative is that it's the New York Riptides franchise, and the Riptides said, "It has been a fun 2023-24 season thus far, Riptide, and we are fully committed and excited on a playoff run. Before we continue, we must remiss that if we do not acknowledge how appreciative we are of our loyalty, unwavering support of New York Riptide. With that being said, it is mixed emotions that we inform our fans that our franchise decision to relocate to Ottawa, Ontario at the conclusion of the 2023-2024 NLL season. Beginning in 2024-25, the Riptide will be known as Iowa Black Bears." It's one of those weird things because I think the NL has given them a discount on the expansion fee because they're moving over. They could have easily said, Riptide, you fold, and we'll get an expansion fee. But in general, that's what happens. A lot of these teams are part of other teams, hybrids of other teams, where they just bought the franchise and they moved them to other cities. Georgia Swarm is part. They played in Minnesota. A lot of these teams have moved around, but New York just doesn't seem to. Long Island is a hard place to have success with sports teams. Besides the New York Islanders, everything else just doesn't really fit in over there. They have that G League team. Go ahead.
And that's your area too. I mean, that's where that area you know well.
But Long Island, I mean, it's hard to get to. Long Island Railroad, driving there is a real hectic. I never drove when I was in New York, but still, I mean, just getting out to Long Island from the boroughs is not really easy. You have to hop on the train and get around. But I mean, the Riptide obviously did not draw not enough attendance, not enough fan support. They have some good players, but they still, New York's a market where how many minor league teams have had success? Everybody wants to have it be in New York for the TV purposes. The UFL tried that with the New York Guardians, but unless you have the fan base that supports the team, is it worth being there? I don't think so.
Okay. Well, and the thing is with Ottawa, smaller town, but it's more fan friendly, I think.
It definitely small, more, and plus you have the NHL involvement. That's the big thing. You have the NHL owners invested, so those people working with those teams, they'll have extra jobs. They'll make a little extra money, or maybe they'll actually hire somebody, separately for the NLL franchise. They'll probably have some front office people doing separate work, but the media guy might be doing a little bit of everything, trying to help the team with the marketing, with the promotions, with the press releases.
Yeah.
That's how that goes.
Oh, and two, plus, like you said, you had to buy into with the Senators.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what else you got going on? What's what else been going on?
Well, the NBA G League, the guy, Mac McClung, he won the G League slam dunk competition 2 years in a row. Will he go a third time? Probably, but it's just a shame this guy can't really make it in the NBA. He's played very little NBA action. So he's in the Osceola Magic. That's the G League affiliate for the Orlando Magic. And he's been done for fascinating dunks. I think he's definitely going to try to three-peat. I don't see him otherwise. I'm hoping by next year, if he does compete in slam dunk contest, he is on a regular on an NBA franchise. I think that'd be a little bit better standpoint from a situation where you're winning slam dunk contest and you're in the G League. So, like at Crash Davis, Bull Durham, you accomplish everything you can in minor leagues, but if you don't make it to the big majors, you're not doing that good.
And what's the track record with people going from the G League to the NBA in terms of you know, is it truly a developmental league, or is it
definitely
just...
It definitely is, because players are moving back and forth all the time, and a lot of okay. them are owned by the team, so the teams get to have their own systems in place. So, and sometimes players sign both contracts, and then sometimes players get injured and they practice down there. Believe me, now that Phoenix has a G League franchise, every single team has an affiliation, so it's obviously working to a degree where they can draft these guys in the second round, and then they can get playing time in the G League, and then they can develop their skills. You know, it gives places for players to play and develop.
Okay. Yeah, because when it comes to the G League, I mean, there's a team obviously in Chicago, but the Bulls are kind of like, you know, the Bulls are people have completely forgotten about the Bulls. So in terms of the G League, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the G League mentioned maybe one or two times on the Chicago news. So now I'm just curious just in terms of how their business model is, but you know, all these teams are financially supported by the NBA. So, you know, for them, they lose money. It's a developmental league. So,
well, at least they do a good job on social media. Cause in my week around the leagues, you always see the videos of players of the week, this top 10 plays. They really do. Yeah. That's the one thing. If you're going to have a league, you gotta do a good job on social media. You gotta have videos and highlights and do all these other things. You gotta make it sound good, because Major League Rugby, I wanna you know, give it more videos and action, but they don't do the top five plays. They have a rugby show on FS2, but they don't really do enough to. They should show some of those amazing laterals and plays. But at least the G League, you know, they're run professionally on Facebook with their game highlights and videos and player profiles. I always find a plethora of stuff I can use for every round of the leagues every time I'm putting my column together every week on the NBA G League.
Okay. And so what else happened over there in America?
Well, last week, Major League Soccer and the U.S. Soccer announced 8 MLS teams, 11 MLS Next Pro teams will compete in the 2024 U.S. Open Cup. The 8 MLS teams will include the Houston Dynamo, last year's Open Cup champion, and the top 7 ranked U.S.-based teams according to the 2023 MLS Supporters Shield standings, other than the players' clubs playing in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. LA United, FC Dallas, Sporting Kansas City, Los Angeles FC, Real Salt Lake, San Jose Earthquakes, and Seattle Sanders. And then the MLS Next Pro include 9 MLS affiliates and 2 independent clubs. So MLS, you got to do better than this. This U.S. Open Cup has been around since 1914. I know you're getting big time. I know you're getting big ratings and Lionel Messi. But the thing is, be humble. They rather get more money in these other tournaments and leagues. But I think all these teams should be playing in this league and let the little guy play against them. I mean, but the thing is, they want to have their own little empire. That's why they have MLS Next Pro. That's why they have all the and then they have the clubs and academies. They're trying to build this whole entire empire where it's all their thing. They don't want to deal with USL Championship and USL League One and all these other teams. They want to just be their big player.
And of course, there is no relegation or promotion in the U.S. soccer leagues.
None.
Yeah, I think that's to me, you know, that's the world standard. You have, you know, relegation, and that's kind of the magic of soccer. But without it, I don't know. I'm not a, you know, we've got it over here. Our second division team that I root for, they're going to be playing here this afternoon, I think. But that's what, no, man, it just, that's kind of the magic of that game, is knowing that if you don't win, you're going to get kicked down a few levels. But so, that's just my opinion.
Well, the thing is, Major League Soccer, I mean, I just don't have the appeal for it. I mean, Charlotte's not that far from me, but at the same point, it's just so 3-hour drive is more of a 2-day trip in general to go to Charlotte in general for that. Right. But the thing is, they think they act like they're such big time. I like the underdog. I like the little guy. I tried to get a press pass for the Philadelphia Union when they were playing at the Link, their inaugural season, and the team turned me down because they cover minor league and independent sport, but they consider themselves the fifth major league. To a degree, they are, but the problem is they don't get the ratings. They don't get the sponsorships. They're buried on Apple TV, and people are buying it for one reason only: Lionel Messi. So,
okay. So let me ask you this: with MLS, what's attendance like?
Attendance is good in a lot of markets and teams, but the thing, attendance is good, but the ratings are just not to the level where I expect them to be, as far as like millions of fans watching. But then again, their big thing is Apple TV, so all they need is many people buying it and buying it and buying it, and they're fine. So I mean, they have some games on Fox, but I don't know how many games are on there. So that, and ratings these days are so hard to even calculate all these, you know, I mean, all the cord cutting these days.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, just I'm watching now as we're sitting here talking, I've got the LFA game in the background, and it's all on YouTube. And, you know, ratings really is a number of, views. So that's pretty easy to calculate, but we are so splintered when it comes to how we watch sports.
Well, that's a discussion we're going to have when we discuss the UFL later. When they play about their ratings, because a lot of people are going to be watching them on the apps, and those are not going to be recognized unless those sites share that. And those sites, and no, ESPN is not going to share that. Fox is not going to share that. So people are going to be, you know, their defenders of the UFL are going to be saying, well, they're doing better than people realize, not even knowing the facts for themselves. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that happened last year. I mean, you know, I'm not even when Mike Mitchell came out on XFL News Hub and you know, gave us the ratings, but then spun it, you know, like, oh, no, the ratings suck when compared to, you know, I mean, when you're coming in behind the Real Housewives on cable, but just beating out 1 a.m. Sports Center, that's not a good number for something that was promised to be, you know, big time. So, but that's just my opinion. So.
Well, the thing is, I mean, this year, like 70% of the games are on over-the-air TV. But here's my argument, Greg, which I said on the Birmingham Facebook page. Those guys are down to earth. I don't mind giving those guys a nice plug. But the thing is, I said, Greg, when the weather gets nice, people are not going to stay home to watch these games. I don't know how the ratings are going to be. When the weather gets nice in May and June, April, I mean, my prediction is, if the UFL has a second season, which I think they will, I think they're going to have to go back to the beginning of the week after the Super Bowl. Just bite the bullet with March Madness. Unless Fox can't have programming on there, come on, just bite the bullet. Go to week after the Super Bowl, and what's you know, people in the North, when it's freezing cold, they'll be watching games. I mean, the thing
well,
is,
yeah, and you're right, because here's the thing too. With that, there's really only one Northern team, and they play in a dome.
Yeah, if you think about it,
well, St. Louis and Michigan,
and they're playing
two teams. Yeah, two teams that play in domes. So weather is really not a factor when it comes to the UFL this season. You know, some of the arguments that have been made. Well, it's better. No, and again, that's a discussion we're going to have later once that thing kicks off, in terms of ratings, attendance, reality versus illusion, and all the delusional spin that's going to be going on, both on social media, well, in the social media, but also with a lot of these, I'm using air quotes, news sites. But that's just so. But I digress. So let us move on to what's happening in the world of American football, particularly indoor American football.
Well, speaking of weather, let's talk about that Real Salt Lake LA.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I talked about this offline.
I mean the weather was insane, but the LFC coach, he shouldn't complain. Just be happy. I mean,
he wouldn't complain if he won.
You wouldn't complain. I mean, come on. I mean, just suck it up. I mean, this is what you're playing for. You get. I mean, complaining and whining to the Athletic. I mean, Greg, what do you think? Greg,
well,
what do you think about the Athletic?
Let me ask you this: soccer. Do they call the game on rain?
No.
I mean, because soccer, you know, do they call Scottish Premier League games because of the rain, or English Premier game because it rains all the time up there?
Nope. I mean, only time they do the light games is lightning. Otherwise, I mean, that's it. Yeah. If it's lightning, then you get postponed and rescheduled. Everything else, just deal with it and bite the bullet.
Weather's part of it, even when it comes to baseball. I mean, you know, unless it's a downpour, they're still going to play in the rain up to a certain point when it just becomes, you just can't do it with baseball. But yeah, I agree with you, man. I just, you know, had he won, he wouldn't complain. So that's really kind of how
And he got fined $10,000 because, well, good. I mean, because, you know, just keep your mouth shut. I mean, come on. What are you going to do? I mean, whine to the Athletic. I mean, speaking of the Athletic, right? Is the Athletic even a worthy? It's like, well, you have to pay to read these articles. I haven't subscribed for that stuff. What do you think about the Athletic, honestly?
Well, here's my take on that. Okay. When all of us, you know, back before we had the internet, I mean, I get my new sports news now from, believe it or not, there's this great thing that, you know, great invention to get your sports news, and it's called a newspaper. And so I'm kind of like going old school when it comes to get my sports news by going back to, you know, I'm lucky. I'm digressing here a little bit, but there's this great thing called Press Reader. It's an app, and you can get in conjunction. So Press Reader is an app to read all kinds of periodicals, including newspapers, world newspapers. And it works with your library card. So like for me, I have, I have free access to the Navy's library and all the perks that go along with being a veteran and being former service. So now my mornings, I mean, I watch Japanese news in the morning and watch what's going on. But when I'm watching it, I'm sitting down reading the actual newspaper. It's on my iPad, but it's the actual physical, a copy of the physical copy. So yeah, when it comes to the Athletic, and so where I'm, it's kind of a roundabout way of me saying, going back to the Athletic thing, before the internet, before bloggers, before, you know, XFL News Hub, before XFL Newsroom, before all of these fan type news sites, before our sportscentral.com, that's how I got my news. So I'm kind of going back to the future a little bit when it comes to my sports news. Now, obviously, you know, when it comes to the minor leagues, and I'm including the UFL, you do need sites like, you know, Pro Football Newsroom. You do need, you know, Mark Perry, you know, he wants to provide news coverage, and he does an admirable job. You guys too, with our Sports Central.
The only problem, Greg, I have with some of these news sites is they'll use something from a pay site like it's their own story. That's not journalism. I'm living with that crap.
No, I do a little. Okay, so if you go to gridironmexico.net, I do basically. I'm getting back into writing and everything. So I decided I'm going to do a column. It's not going to be a news. When it comes to, I'm not going to be doing what you're doing, reporting like you do, but I like doing columnists. I've always kind of found, you know, I like writing columns, kind of like what Scott Adamson does with at Adamson Media with his work. Because, you know, the old school columnist is kind of going away. Peter King just retired. And so that old school, I mean, John Gunning is one of the, in Japan, he is the only, John's a friend of mine. So he does a column on sumo, a weekly column on sumo. It's one of the best sports articles, some of the best sports writing you've ever seen, because not only does he give you talk about sumo itself, but he gives the history and everything. I mean, there's so much included. So the days of, but so when it goes, comes to the Athletic, yeah, they're behind a paywall. So let me ask you this, because I'm like you. I've seen what's on the Athletic, but is it worth the cost? I mean, are these writers writing articles I would want to read? I ask you.
Well, the thing is, some of my friends actually give me the information when that's subscribed to it. But also, a lot of these other sites will get the information from there and do their own spin on it and for free. So,
That's journalism in general. Everybody does that. Hell, even Sports Illustrated did that back in its heyday. But the thing is, when it comes to original sports writing, I mean, you guys at our Sports Central do original sports writing. There is no copy and paste. I can look at what you wrote and look, no, okay, AI did not write this. That was my issue with, UFL you know, when I started looking at the UFL coverage on SI, I'm like, is this AI or is this human? I mean, it was hard for me to tell. And the reason why I brought, and I had the conversation with that, I go, you know, the people, SI had issues with AI creating articles. So hopefully they're going to do better as we move forward and give people a written product that they would want to read, kind of like the Sports Illustrated that we grew up with. You wanted to read those articles because those articles mattered. And, you know, I'm going off on a tangent here about sports writing, but, you know, when I read articles from Scott Adamson and John Gunning, okay, their columns, they're worth reading. They're worth saving. Every word that is written down there is original, and they know their subject matter.
And that's what I've been doing as well with all my Inside the XFL. I mean, I do a theme, I back it up with facts, and then I do extra points, a little extra point nuggets, all real information. And the fact is, if they have post game press conferences, which I'm hoping they do, then I can let the quotes back up my opinion.
The thing is too, when it comes to, let's just use. A good example. Let's just use ratings and attendance. When you look at the ratings and attendance, you're going to call it as you see it. You're not going to spin it going, oh, but these are great numbers. Don't ignore what you're looking at. Believe what I'm saying. But you guys aren't going to do that. That's what real sports writing is all about. Calling it as you see it. And if it looks like shit, it looks like shit.
But you know, I'm not gonna defend it. I mean, I'm not gonna say, it's all streaming numbers or bad. I'm not gonna be whatever it is. It is. That's. I'm not gonna like, you know, defend this and say, the weather is not. I mean,
You're not gonna Baghdad Bob it, if you know that reference. If you remember that reference.
Yeah, I know.
When we invaded Iraq, the spokesperson for the Iraqi defense ministry was out there. Hey, we're doing a great job. We're beating back the enemy when you can see in the distance American tanks. So I'm going off topic here. Let us move on while we're on the subject of football. Oh, go ahead.
WNBA. With Caitlin Clark. Okay. She's gonna be the real deal. She's coming out this year. She could have stayed in college another year, but why? She accomplished everything she wanted to. I mean, she's gonna be the number one pick in the WNBA draft by Indiana Fever. She's awesome. I watched that Ohio State Iowa game where she passed Pistol Pete Maravich's record. People just come on. Can you give her a little bit of credit? I mean, I know Pistol Pete didn't have a 3-point line and other things. It's still an accomplishment. People are fighting like crazy on Facebook, men versus women. Like it's still an accomplishment. It's done differently, but come on, but she's the real
gender
deal.
Does not matter when you're shooting from the outside.
No, it doesn't.
Period. So, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, I mean, she's a fiend. I've not watched any of her games. I only know with what I've read, because I, you know, don't really have access to watching women's college basketball. I wish I did, but I really don't over here.
Craig, do you get access to YouTube or not?
Access to YouTube, but I mean, but most of these games are on what, ESPN anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, and I have ESPN, but you know, I got to go through a VPN, and of course, too, the time difference, too. I've heard everything. But my one question with her is, does she own the women's? Because isn't somebody else back in the 70s set the women's college record? But Caitlin has not set the women's college record, right?
I'll have to look into that.
This is something that I think may have gotten lost. And it's where I always say history matters. And I think, and again, after we finish up this talk, but if I remember correctly, and I saw this on Facebook of all places, so I don't know whether to believe it or not, but somebody had pointed out that somebody back in the 1970s at one of the smaller colleges. And, you know, when it came to women's sports, you know, women's sports was never the same level as men's, especially back in the 70s. So, In fact, the NCAA did not even support women's sports, especially basketball, up until I forget when. But in the, back in the 70s, Michael McCambridge wrote a great book called about sports in the 70s, and he covered the entire the topic of women's basketball, women's sports in depth. So, yeah, no, let's you know, next time we talk, hopefully we'll be talking more about her. But yeah, I'd be curious to know if she actually has the women's college basketball record, because I don't know if she does or not. But with all that said, that takes nothing away from what she did. I mean, why are people getting upset? On social media, is it all, for lack of a better term, is it all the angry white dudes that are pissed off about?
Yeah, that's her? Why. That's what it seems like. It's still a tremendous accomplishment. She just passed Steph Curry's record tonight with the most three-point shots ever made. The thing is, she's the real deal. We're to a point where it's going to bring so many people to watch this stuff. It's going to bring people. I mean, people are going to. I mean, if I ever go to Len again for a sports trip, I mean, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get a press pass. The hype is going to be through the roof with her. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's going to be similar to Lionel Messi to a lesser degree. But
right. The
thing is, any place she plays, fans are going to want to see her play in those markets.
Is she going pro next year? Or?
Yeah, she is. Number one pick.
Has she said she's going pro?
Yep.
Because I saw an interview with her, or I think I was listening to Dan Patrick. And, you know, she had another year. Like, it made it the way it seemed to me was she was contemplating just staying another year at Iowa because she had it good.
Yeah, but she's getting all these sponsorships, and she's going to be able to bring a lot of stuff as well. Plus, she accomplished everything she wanted to. Well, the one thing I hope happens, I hope she gets to the Final Four in the tournament. I mean, that's what the ESPN would love to go gaga over, because everybody's going to be watching. They're going to get record ratings if she gets to the.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing it's fun. The thing is, it makes the WNBA is, you know, moving, doing a little bit better. They have a team in Bay Area coming. The Las Vegas Aces have sold out all the season tickets for first team in WNBA history to do that. Their expansion, well, we'll see what happens. Greg, being in Toronto, I mean, a Canadian guy, what do you think about Toronto being a possible WNBA market? Is an American franchise better, or can Toronto really give WNBA a really good expansion market?
Well, I mean, Toronto is what? It's big as Chicago. So, I mean, I'm sure it'd be great in, you know, but you've got to compete. I mean, depends upon, the league, you know, when the league plays, I mean, they, other than the Blue Jays and the Argonauts, they don't have much competition. So I don't know, you know, I don't see why it couldn't work in Toronto.
Well, I think it can because they're a big time market. I mean, I think they'll support that. I mean, they support.
Well, it's the largest city in Canada. I mean, if it can, listen, if they can support an NBA team, they can support a WNBA team.
Well, the thing is, I like to see WNBA, you know, get less than, I mean, having WNBA backing them. Let's see them do more stuff on their own as well. Let's see, I mean, how they can handle, just growth and stability. And plus the fact, hopefully they had another team, because Portland was going to be a team, but then they have issues with the arena, because Portland would have been another great market for the WNBA. But
maybe with her, you know, maybe she is what she is there. She is, maybe she is the WNBA's Joe Namath.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on.
Well, we'll go to indoor football, where the National Arena League officially reports that the Topeka Tropics, not the Will Ferrell team, has been terminated by the National Arena League. The decision follows the NAL to find new ownership to assume responsibilities for Topeka's participation in 2024 season. NAL worked with provincial investors to allow the Tropics to continue membership. Despite finding capable investors, it was determined there was not a viable way to complete a transition and a short timeline presented for the start of the season. National Arena League will continue to explore options for Topeka for the future. And this is the second team that's been terminated in 2 weeks of that league. It's just, indoor football is except for the IFL indoor football league, indoor arena football league is a disaster. That's my take.
My two cents on everything, and indoor football in general, and if you look at, it's kind of a Ponzi scheme. Yep. I mean, the new AFL is clearly a Ponzi scheme. these other leagues, they're just, there's just the financial, I don't know what the financial, I don't know if there's a business plan other than hope. And yeah, so I don't know what to make of any of this, but seeing another, I mean, listen, indoor football leagues, indoor football league teams, whether they're with the IFL, the AFL, NAL, champion, whatever, nobody's ever succeeded. The only team that's ever been around long enough is the Arizona Rattlers and the Orlando Predators, and there's maybe one or two more. But those teams have gone from league to league to league, but those are proven markets where, you know, they can actually make money. But all these other cities that do indoor football, man, it's just, you talk about, if you want to figure, you know, if you want to throw away your money, you know, create a, you know, start an indoor football league and indoor football league, an arena indoor team, because it's none of these teams ever last.
I mean, there's practically no money. I mean, the heydays of arena football was more of a labor of love. People were just, you know, they liked being the big fish in a small pond. They liked, but the thing is, after a while, if you lose money, you keep on losing money, you're going to bail, because even like, remember like Gene Simmons with the kit, LA Kiss?
I mean,
Bon Jovi. I mean, all these, John Elway. All these teams want. Eventually, if you keep on losing money, Charles Wong, remember him with the whole entire, I mean, he had the New York Dragons and AF2. That league is dead. They had markets everywhere. Everybody wanted a team in that arena football too. I covered two arena cups in Shreveport. I mean, it was and none of those markets are viable except for maybe like Green Bay. That's the Green Bay Blizzard in the IFL.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Green Bay. Yeah, but that's one of those markets where it kind of works because there's no competition, and you know, you got a lot of football fans out there. So I mean that's kind of a natural fit.
Well, I will say the most stable league is indoor football league. Because I'll give them credit. Like, look at the markets. Here are the markets, Greg. We'll go over them briefly. Arizona Rattlers, established arena football team, they're doing well. Bay Area Panthers, that's still San Jose market, good place. Dakota Bucks, Bismarck, North Carolina, that's a
there ain't much to do out there in the winter. So yeah,
Duke City Gladiators, that's a weird one because you would never think that's Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Right.
Briscoe Fighters, that's still like the Dallas market, but still good. We made Blizzard, another Midwest, a lot of Midwest teams. Iowa Barnstormers, that's the arena football team. Jim Foster invented the league and he owned he had a team there for a while. Kurt Warner played there and their legacy continues. That's Jacksonville Sharks, a newcomer. They decided to go for this league and they'll be good. Massachusetts Pirates, that's a weird one. They moved from the they're being in Lowell, Massachusetts. Northern Arizona Wranglers, that's Prescott Valley, Arizona. Quad City Steam Millers, Moline, Illinois. San Antonio Gunslingers, that's
Moline. Yeah, the Moline. Yeah, no, it's okay. Yeah. It's, you know, I'm from that area. So it's like, oh, that's Moline. Sorry.
And the San Antonio Gunslingers, if I ever go down for a UFL game again, I can hit up the Gunslingers. That's a good market for us.
Yeah, I forgot about Quad City. So I mean, those are, you know, mid-sized. They don't have a whole lot of competition.
And then we have we have San Diego Strike Force, which is the San Diego market. Sioux Falls Storm, that's the team that dominated IFL forever. Yeah. Tucson Sugar Skulls, Tucson, Arizona. That's a good, you know,
nothing else.
Tulsa Oilers and Vegas. Everybody has a team. Vegas Nighthawks. The thing is, Greg, why is every single league on this planet want a team in Vegas? Because
Vegas is where the money's at.
Yeah, every single league has it now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before, I mean, when's the NBA team coming? So
they'll be coming there soon enough. I mean, Major League Baseball, I've seen the renditions for that ballpark. I'll see it when I believe it, Greg.
Yeah.
That thing looks like a damn, come on. That's like a,
I agree with you. But with that said, it's Vegas. And, you know, Vegas was built on entertainment money. So, you know, but maybe. But I don't, you know, who knows? And, you know, obviously when it comes to Major League Baseball, you know, you've got, you know, got my White Sox, even though I'm a Cubs fan too. I'm a fan of both teams. But you got the White Sox looking at moving several blocks north of where they're at.
Well,
and moving into the South Loop, and who knows if that's going to happen. You know,
The $50 million question, Greg, is are any leagues going to expand? Will the NHL add more teams? They still have to figure out what they're going to do with the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah, they're going to expand. You just got to give it time. But, yeah, in terms of the Coyotes need to move because, you know, where they're at now. And I don't know the
full – Arizona State. Arizona State.
That's yeah, it's like 5,000 stadium there in Tempe. I mean, but Arizona, you know, there's actually a choice of stadiums, but the way – you know, they were in Glendale – but then they were, I mean, the way you say, I don't know. I don't know what to think of Arizona because it can support a hockey team. Cause when you win, people show up, but when you're not winning, yeah, people aren't going to show up. So I don't know what I think the easiest answer is just move the team, you know, move it up to Salt Lake City, move it to somewhere where, you know, at least now for at least the foreseeable future, they're going to have fan support. And
well, it's just crazy that some of these, like, remember Kansas City, they were built for an NHL team, and they even got one. Now that's just basically a college basketball arena. I mean, Kansas City was built for NHL. It's funny how these cities, like Pittsburgh was so close to being, you know, moving, but then Mario Lemieux saved that franchise. And now it's just funny how all these NHL teams, Winnipeg is now struggling attendance-wise. People are saying Atlanta
Is it part of it? Just the price of tickets?
It's so expensive.
Yeah,
hockey is just. I mean, that's why I don't go to unless friends invite me to games. I'm not going to spend money to go to Carolina Hurricanes games. It's too expensive. $100. I mean, the park. You're paying like a fortune just to pay with parking. How they get you now, Greg, is what the situation. If you pay ahead of time, it's cheaper. If you pay a day of the game with parking passes, you're paying through the roof. So it's like, yeah. I mean, I like I wish there was a minor league hockey team closer to where I'm going to. I mean, the closest team to me is Fayetteville. I'm not going to drive 72 miles, that much to see a minor league hockey game because it's just gas prices. They're still sky high down here. I mean, as far as like having teams in my market, I have the North Carolina Courage. I can cover National Women's Soccer League. I have the USL Soccer Championship, North Carolina FC. I'm covering tomorrow. But I have team. I mean, as far as like traveling for. Driving for other games and teams, it depends. Like the Pro Lacrosse League, I'm willing to go to Charlotte for that, Carolina Chaos game just to get out there and do it. But the thing is, I'm not going to be going out of my way to go to Charlotte that much. I may go to Charlotte I'm probably going to go to Charlotte when Tennessee plays NC State at Bank of America. That'll be fun. That'll be a fun game to go to. Hopefully, it'll be at night in September because I don't want to deal with noon heat in the South. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, and that's something that all these leagues, I mean, they got to make money. I mean, they're not they didn't go into business and start these teams to lose money. So it's making money. It's just, you know, but if you don't price your product in reach of the average fan, or you don't have a product on the field or the ice or the rink or, you know, wherever that people want to go see, yeah, it's a tightrope. So, hey, let's move on here. Let's talk about another league here that I really don't know much about, and that's the National Lacrosse League.
Well, National Lacrosse League, they're in good shape wise, and they have a team in Ottawa. They're doing pretty well. They're gonna have a team in Iowa next year. The thing is,
right,
the TV penetration. It's more ESPN Plus and TSN. So that's the thing is how I feel like this. If you're gonna have your playoff games, you got to get them on TV. You got to get them on linear television so people can watch. I mean, you got to have them on a channel people can actually watch and follow, because, I mean, you can't be buried behind a paywall for a championship game. You got to be on ESPN2. I mean, the thing that pisses me off the most, Greg, is that I don't know why ESPN News doesn't get all those weird sports leagues, because in the past, they used to put them on there all the time. You used to get CFL games. You used to get all these games on. If ESPN News is not being used properly, you might as well at least give it.
I agree with you.
I mean, even major arena soccer league. Why can't we have like one channel dedicated to all these small league sports just to give them exposure? It's just I know YouTube is a new version, but still, I mean,
right. That kind of gets into the thing I kind of want to wrap everything up with, and that's just talking about, you know, we know change is coming in terms of how we watch sports. We're in the midst of it right now. I'm watching I'm watching the LFA here as we talk here on YouTube on streaming, but we got a big change coming up with ESPN. It's in the works. Tell people more about it, because I mean, all I know is kind of what from some of the stuff that you sent me. But how do you think this is ESPN going to drop cable altogether and just go completely streaming, or are they going to keep their cable and just offer, you know, the streaming package at what, $40 a month? I think is the plan.
But that's ridiculous. I mean, can't you get Sling TV for that and still keep all the channels? But it's just the cable monopoly is awful, Greg. I have Spectrum, and I'm basically screwed because if I go to a slow tier, then I got to pick like 15 channels, and you don't even get local channels. Basically, you wonder how Spectrum is killing America right now is with this internet stuff, because they basically have the monopoly. You need the internet. Like I pay like $84 cable fee. I mean, with internet and cable. And if I told my apartment complex, cut it in half, and then I'll get YouTube TV, but they won't do that. So I'm pretty much stuck.
Really?
I want to have like a YouTube TV, and then I can have my high speed internet for my computer stuff, right, and writing, but they won't do that. So I'm basically,
so you're stuck. If I'm understanding you correctly, then
yeah, I'm stuck. Yeah.
You're stuck now with that. And you know, do you have at least a basic package, or
I'm paying more than I plan to. I like having the channels. I like having the DVR. I like having, I'm not right, skimming down, yeah, right now. Down the road, yeah, I might, but I'm not in a situation where I have, right, other people are skimming down, basically just taking what they can, because that's, you know, and they have their own little like streaming service. But I'm still, the problem was me, Greg. I got accustomed to having what I had, and all of a sudden they just pulled the carpet under me. I'm like, it's so hard to go back to, once you get a taste of stuff, it's so hard, yeah, to go back to having nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I even had a good friend said, I mean, I'll give you a streaming service for you. Like, friend, don't do that, because once it's gone, we're going to miss it. That if you haven't experienced it, then you're not going to miss it.
So I mean, right. I mean, unless you've got Paramount Plus, which nobody watches,
Peacock, another one.
You know, Peacock. I have Peacock, but I don't pay for it. I pay for the. I just have the free service, and I have what I need because I like watching Dan Patrick. But I got to use a VPN with that. But that's all I use it for.
Well, I think
the thing is, it depends. You know, that's the thing. People forget about these VPNs. If you have a VPN, we'll just use the Canadian Football League for a good example. So if you're tech savvy enough, and really you don't have to be that tech savvy enough to do this anymore, because these VPNs are pretty easy to set up both on your computer and on your tablet and your smartphone. But instead of paying money to, you know, instead of paying for a package that, you know, say if you're a CFL fan and you're like, oh, I got to buy a package, I didn't want to, but they're on CBS. Now you just get a VPN and you just, you know, flip over and say you're in Thailand or some other country and just watch it on your laptop, or watch it like I've got everything set up. I've got my laptop set up to the big screen, and it's just so easy to get around. In America, they nickel and dime you to death. So there are ways around some of that nickel and diamond. So just, I'm saying, get yourself a VPN. Like, so for me, watching stuff internationally, I mean, I've got to pay my tribute to the NFL every year, but at least with that, I know I get all the games and it costs way less, but it just, you know, all these sports leagues have gone with streaming, and with that, they're screwing everybody. But I don't know. I don't even know what to think. I'm kind of going on a diatribe here.
Well, it's just one of those things where it's like, it's just when you, I'm a homebody. I don't go out that, besides, I don't go out that much as far as I don't go to bars or do any of that nonsense. I basically, you know, I work, I come home, relax. And then like, when I'm not working, I either, watching sports at home, or I'm going out, right, and covering games. I'm always doing something.
So let me just ask you, because as we wrap things up here. So when it comes to looking with your crystal ball here for the next, say, through the end of the year, where do you see things going with ESPN? How we consume sports? Do you see a massive seismic shift coming up when it comes to cable, when it comes to streaming, when it comes to over the air. I think it's coming sooner rather than later.
Well, it seems like everybody wants a dance partner. It seems like a streaming services are joining services and they're getting together. And the thing is, it's nice from a standpoint where you get more content, but then you're paying more money. Right. It's like a super conference, like all these streaming services, like Paramount Plus and Showtime, and then what, Peacock and whatever else. Everybody wants a dance partner. The more if you work together, the more content, the more you can pay. And then speaking of Netflix, what do you think about that Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight on Netflix? Isn't that weird, Greg? You think about
I mean, Netflix is it's one of the last ones to. You know, if you think about it, one of the last streaming services not to have live TV. So they're starting to go live TV. They see where they realize they're missing out on something. And, you know, I mean, Netflix, they just kind of, you know, if you remember not that long ago, they were on the decline with subscribers. So having live TV, I mean.
Well, the thing is, I mean, you can have it, but at the same point, like sports bars are getting killed because some sports bars will spend the money for Amazon Prime and some won't.
Right.
So, like, yeah, you know, I mean, so, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, there's, if you're going to want to go out and watch a game, certain places are going to have it. The ones that can afford it, the ones that are not going to pay the extra fees, are not going to have it. So it's kind of like, if you're going to have it, you better be making money out of it. Otherwise, you're just throwing money away.
Yeah. I mean, you and I, obviously, we watch our sports. It's very self-contained. But, yeah, I didn't even think about the bars and everything.
Yeah, so. Because like a Peacock with the Big Ten Network, I mean, all these streaming, can they even, are they even allowed to, it's one of those weird policies where I think they have to, if they're in a certain place, they have to pay more to show it. I don't know how that, you know, it's all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the thing with the economics of sports. I mean, that's a whole, you know, there's the top, you know, if you major in economics, you got economics, but then you got sports economics, which is completely, you know, at times it's kind of built on, it's sports economics and sports in general are built on top of other people's money, whether it be taxpayer money or ticket sales.
But Greg, how many people are actually, when they're out and about, if I'm out and about around people, I'm not going to be watching games on my phone. That's first of all, that's rude. Second of all, it's like, I mean, unless you want a quick score or something, come on, you're out around people. Get a life. I'm almost at a philosophy, Greg, where I'm at a sports event, wherever else, I'm like, I turn the phone off. Let me just live in the moment. I don't need to.
Yeah.
I mean, someone needs to get back to me. But
that's where we're at in terms of how people consume everything. I'll use me as an example. Okay. You know, football games come on here in the early morning through about noon. So, you know, today's a good example, because if I weren't talking with you, I'd probably be out now and I'd be watching this LFA game on a phone somewhere, because, you know, it just, that's just where we're at with just, you know, again, the world has changed so much since we were kids. So it's just, it's amazing to see. And I'm just kind of curious where we go. So, hey, as we wrap things up here, Fran, tell everybody how they can find you over at R Sports Central.
rsportscentral.com. Tuesday, every Tuesday, the week around the leagues, that's the place where you get all the news and nuggets, all the videos. I basically find the best news stories and best videos out there, where sometimes I let the videos do the talking. Like Caitlin Clark, she was on Good Morning America. I'm gonna find that video, and you can hear her talk about her, how she feels, why she's doing what she's doing. CFL. I mean, there's always some good content going out there in these leagues, and it's fun.
Well, that's a great thing about YouTube, because I know when I started this GridironMexico.net, my little, you know, I hate using the term blogger, because you and I have had this conversation.
Writer.
It does have a negative connotation, but, you know, I have decided that instead of calling myself a blogger, I would just call myself a citizen sports journalist.
Well, Greg, how about this? I mean, somebody referred to me and said, it's a hobby. No, what I do is a lot more than a damn hobby. I'll be honest.
Well, it's...
To a degree it is, but come on.
Listen, all of us... you know what? You got your full-time job. Obviously, that's what pays the bills. Hell, I had a full-time job for 30 years until I retired. But whether, first of all, unless you work for a newspaper. Well, you not even that anymore, but
paywalls. You can't. Why even write for? Why even work for a paper?
Yeah. You know, if you're doing what you love, it doesn't matter what it's called. I like writing. I like writing a column for this, you know, for Gridiron Mexico, and I'll be doing that for Gridiron Japan here come this, you know, come this autumn. And everybody who does the fan news sites, we'll use the UFL as an example. All those guys are getting paid, and if they're getting paid, I don't know where. First of all,
I mean, remember Connor, the guy from he said the most they ever paid was a utility bill, so that really isn't. I mean, you're throwing all this time and effort into something.
All of us write as fans because we want that's, you know, it's for the love of the game. So that's why, you know, when we sit and we talk about sports journalism, 99% of sports journalism now, especially covering the smaller leagues, is done by people that aren't getting paid anything, and we do it for the love of the game. You, me, you know,
I'll give you a perfect example. Like tomorrow, I'm going to cover a North Carolina FC game. I'm covering a North Carolina Courage game the following week. I get I'm getting a season press pass, so I get free parking. I get a media meal. I get game access, and I get, you know, I mean, so I'm basically getting like $100, maybe like $100 worth of stuff just for being at the game. Plus I get fed. Plus I write a story. Plus and you always network. You never know who you're going to be. And plus, as far as like these other things are concerned, I mean, I've interviewed Billie Jean King, World Team Tennis, Bon Jovi, we know, the Philadelphia Silver Arena football team. Kurt Warner is rookie year with the Rams. Now he's a Hall of Famer. So the thing is, I mean, I feel like I've done it to an elevated level where even like the Roy Lassiter, the Carolina Core FC coach, he led Major League Soccer in goal scoring the inaugural season. So it's kind of, I mean, it's one thing to do it, but another thing to do it right. And I feel like,
And you got to do it right. And that's the thing. I mean, if you're just doing, I mean, like me, I mean, I was reading my column, some stuff I wrote. And there's some spin in there just because I'm excited about, you know, watching the LFA and the fact that it's not the UFL. And then I know, you know, it's a league I'm excited about, and I hope it'll succeed. But, you know, I write my opinion, and I kind of stated that up front. It's my column, and I'm giving you my observations. You know, whether or not I make nothing from it, and nobody from the league down in Mexico is paying me to do anything. I'm sure people are appreciative of me writing a column, and I'm not, you know, there's a couple of guys with the Shady Sports Network that are doing an LFA podcast, and those guys aren't getting paid for it. They're doing it for the love of the game. And I, that's what we all, that's why we sit and we do this podcast, because we just like to talk sports. And it's great.
At least I have a sports background. You have a sports background. Dave, the thing is, people have sports backgrounds.
I think, you know, with that said, though, all of us are fans. And that's kind of the key. I mean, my sports background, other than playing high school football
and watching stuff,
a podcast, that's kind of it. But I mean,
David worked with teams. I worked for the sports star for 16. I mean, the thing is, I mean, that's that as far as that's concerned. But the thing is, it's fun. But the thing is, as long as you have a site that's reaching people, you just can't create a site all of a sudden and be a journalist. That's the one, that's where I have.
Well, and that's something
that's the problem I have. Like that, I mean, people, I mean, you can't just get, that's not how you get into journalism. That's not how
the thing is. A lot of people are just worried about clicks and likes, especially with podcasts and you know, click and like that. You know, I never ask people
like and subscribe
this podcast to like or subscribe. You know, we got a little Facebook page. We got a YouTube channel, which, you know, it's at Gridiron America for what we do with the live streams. Sports History Network. You can find this podcast, the audio portion of it exclusively over at the Sports History Network there. But, you know, even, you know, the Sports History Network, I mean, you know, it was created for the love of the game, for the love of the game, for the love of sports history. And that's why we do it. I mean, and everybody, and that's what who was I talking to? Yeah, I was talking with somebody online on Facebook. I go, really, you know, when, you know, there is no, we're all kind of one team, one fight. And it's, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about being a CFL fan, because it's always about the league first, and hopefully you're going to start seeing that with the UFL. And I'm, you know, we're starting to see that people are starting the league first, one team, one fight, but in the end, we're all sports fans, and we all want to see our leagues, whether they be, you know, whatever team, you know, I'm glad, like with the UFL, that the leagues have merged, so there's none of this XFL versus USFL stuff. Even though there's bitter feelings, but I don't know. I don't really quite understand.
Well, Greg, it burned me out covering both at the same time. That burned me out covering. I was doing both covering both the leagues last year, and it kind of burned me out a little bit.
Well, and that's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we do need to take a break. You know, taking a break from sports too. So this is like the time of year where normally we'd be like, okay, we'll check back in with football, you know, come April, look at the draft, yeah. And then we'll put it off and we'll, but you know, sometimes I think too, and you know, again, I'm watching, let's see here. Tijuana just scored a touchdown here. So we got the LFA in spring, which is great. But with that said, sometimes especially with the UFL, the hype with the UFL, and I really didn't want to talk about it, but we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap today's podcast up with a little UFL talk. I think that's what kind of burned me out with the UFL on social media was all this fan hype. And it just kind of got, I mean, I've literally unsubscribed, unliked every UFL, old XFL, old except with the history, like with the old USFL, the USFL project and USFL. Then I mean, there's just a couple that but it's only for those, the USFL back in the 80s and the World Football League. But for the rest of them, I just had to tune out because it just got to be such a toxic place.
How I feel too. I mean, it's like Facebook in general is toxic. I mean, everybody's an expert. People spam pages with their opinions. I'm like, come on, it's just not healthy. I mean, I feel like, I mean, anyone that has kids, they shouldn't even allow them on Facebook until they're like 21. Yeah. I mean, come on, it's just such a, it's not a real world. It's fake.
Right.
It's full of people that just for likes and validate people. I mean, it's like a drug addiction. Remember that article, David shared. It's like they're looking for the next share. It's like a drug. They share something you want to hide, and they keep on sharing something. They get that someone likes something. It gets their endorsement. That's not the real world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we're all social animals, and we all want to be. You know, we all want to share. We all want to belong. But yeah, now the UFL just stuff. It was drowning out other things that in my life that. Yeah. You know, like other things, my other interests that I have outside of sports. So it's been nice that I've taken, like I said, I you know, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do the UFL. We'll talk about it. But whether I'm going to invest any time and energy into watching it when I can watch the LFA down in Mexico for free. Because with the UFL, I live in Japan. So obviously, you know, despite what all I think was last year. Oh, yeah. When with the XFL. And this is, you know, I went on Player 54 podcast to talk with Michael Thropp, talk about, you know, the XFL following in Japan. I'm like, there is none. Because, you know, I mean, it's just sometimes if I got to go jump through a lot of hoops to go watch something that I want to, that I really, you know, I'm interested in, I'm not going to watch it. And that's kind of what's kind of going on with the UFL this year. If I got to jump through a lot of hoops to configure my VPN and everything. Yeah, probably not. Cause I can just turn on YouTube and watch the LFA and I got my football fix for the week.
Well, I'll cover it. I mean, I'm still going to do a column player. Yeah. Power. And the thing is, I just feel like, I mean, there's more, I mean, I'm covering some of the other sports leagues and teams. So I'm not going to go, I have soccer leagues to cover. I'm covering lacrosse. I may cover rugby next month.
Right.
I'm tackling more stuff.
Yeah, and those leagues are going to be around a lot longer than the UFL is.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the other thing too. And these are sports, you know, when it comes to the women's, you know, we'll just go through, you know, lacrosse, women's soccer, women's just everything. Those leagues have proven to have a lot more staying power than spring football, whether it be the indoor variety or the outdoor variety in America. Why it's, you know, and that's the thing, it's still kind of, when it comes to the LFA, it's like this league's been around for a little while. So, you know, and they've got some marketing going on. So, I mean, so with all that said, hopefully people next week, hopefully Dave and I will be doing our first episode covering the LFA, talking about this week's games and last week's games that we talked about, Dave and I talked about yesterday, but, when I got the audio back, I'm like, oh, where's Dave's part? Like, oh, so we weren't able to kick that out yesterday. So, but with all that said, Fran, some final thoughts here before we let everybody go?
Well, just enjoy sports. Be a fan. Let the league work, figure out how to run things. Don't have knee jerk reaction. Just enjoy the sport. Don't get sucked into this business side with the ratings and the attention. That's what Facebook is really. I mean, just enjoy the game. Don't worry about. I mean, it's not your money. So then why do you care? You're not investing in this league. So don't act like you're. This is you're spending millions of dollars in this nonsense.
Yeah, act like when it comes to that, I agree 100% with you because listen, if the people that are UFL fans are also NFL fans, they don't get hung up on ratings and they're more upset about Taylor Swift and all that stuff. So, but yeah, no, just enjoy it for what it is. And
I mean, if you don't live in Michigan, don't complain about the attendance enough. These damn fans go spamming every page complaining about attendance. Well, put your money where your mouth is. Go to a game. Don't complain about something unless you're not gonna. And if you're watching, I mean, come on. Enough said. I mean, if you're gonna complain about something, you better be at games. I don't want to hear you high on a keyboard.
Yeah. Right. Well, and the same thing kind of goes for all football leagues, CFL included too. I mean. The CFL is trending upwards, so we're starting to see, at least in the markets that are really have caused a lot of worry, starting to see an uptick on attendance. So, but yeah, no, I agree 100% with you. So, well, listen, hey, on that note, hey, everybody, thank you very much for listening. And if you're trying to reach the show here, we are at From the 55 over there on Twitter. We also have a Facebook page, and it is just type into your Facebook search. From the 55 Yard Line podcast, and it will pop right up. And you can also find us at fromthe55yardline.ca, and that'll take you to our page over there on the Sports History Network. And from there are ways to contact us. And, if you agree with what we say, if you want to yell at me for my hot takes on, it wouldn't be the first time people's message me going, hey, it's unfair for you to say that about. No, it's my opinion. So we're not a news site. We're just kind of a bunch of guys sitting around here. We're fans. We're like talking about sports. And hey, feel free to disagree with us. So on that note, Fran, on behalf of Fran, Dave, and myself, thank you very much for tuning in. And hopefully next week we'll be back. It's been a couple weeks since we did Around the League. So hopefully next week, we'll be doing another Around the Leagues. Hopefully work schedules allow that. So with all that said, thank you very much for listening, and we will be talking to you soon. Bye-bye.
This is Billy Stacy of the St. Louis Football Cardinals, and the Cardinals are charging.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman. aka the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Hello, football friends. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and I'd like to invite you to the portal of positive football history, Pigskin Dispatch and PigskinDispatch.com. We talk about everything that centers around the game of American football, expert discussions, the origins of the games, the great players, teams, and coaches, and more, as some great guests and insights from experts. We have new episodes 3 to 4 times a week, and you can find us on SportsHistoryNetwork.com, PigskinDispatch.com, or your favorite podcast provider.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.